Previously on the Hajj Reunion.
It seems only like yesterday that we were all sitting around the lunch table in the dining room of our hotel in Mecca. And yet, 21 years have passed since then.
I remember that beautiful view we had of the Haram from our hotel. It's all so different now with the Hujjaj having to stay in Azizia.
I'm glad we went when we could still afford to stay in Mecca, right up until the 5 days of Hajj.
One of the few things I remember about the 5 days was the heat.
But we were very lucky that year because it was actually still winter in the kingdom.
Oh, I'm so glad we went ahead with this reunion. It's bringing back all those special memories of Hajj.
Were we in Hajj together?
Yes, Auntie Suraya, in the year 2000. Remember?
No, I didn't go for Hajj that year. The first Hajj I went for was in 1990.
Gee, Auntie Suraya, but it was our first Hajj that year, even though you had been before.
So, Mustafa, you might have started Nair's Travels with the intention of helping the Hujjaj. But as time passed and you started making lots of money, I think your intention must have changed. Your love for money must have overtaken your love for helping the Hujjaj.
The Jamarat are three stone pillars that are pelted as a compulsory ritual of Hajj in emulation of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. They represent the three locations where Ibrahim alayhi salam pelted the shaitan with stones when he tried to dissuade him from sacrificing his son Ismail alayhi salam. Today, on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, we will proceed directly to pelt the biggest shaitan with seven of the pebbles from the stones we collected last night.
Hajj 2000. Later, on day 3, crowds continue to stream in from the direction of Muzdalifah towards Mina throughout the day. The Global Travels tour group are awestruck at the sights and sounds of the countless Hujjaj as they move slowly along, carried like a wave on the sea of people. The Hajj Ministry has set up loudspeakers all over Mina to inform people of when the crowds thin and when the different countries should make their way towards the Jamarat. But it seems as if though few people are listening, or else few people understand. It is almost impossible for the group of 11 to look around and see the big Jamarat where they are headed. But as they've been told by everyone, they know that the crowd will carry them along, at some stage deposit them in front of the pillar. Eventually, they'll get to the Jamarat and loudly recite the dua while pelting the shaitan. They find it difficult to turn around and exit the building, but after some time, they find themselves being moved along with the crowd again. Just as they manage to exit, there's a sudden crush of bodies, and as they crane their necks to look around, Zubair catches a glimpse of his sister Zahra falling to the ground as the people surge forward and stumble and collapse on top of one another. The silence that pervades the air after Atiya dropped the plate that she was holding when Auntie Suraya, in a minute of lucidity, voiced her thoughts about Mustafa is finally broken by Maulana Faisal recovering his composure and apologizing.
Mustafa, I'm sorry. I don't think Auntie Suraya really meant...
Don't worry, Maulana. Since I've had to close the business down, I've been doing some soul searching. I started to wonder the exact same thing that Auntie Suraya just mentioned.
You mean whether taking people for Hajj is with the intention of making money or as a service to the Ummah?
Yes, exactly. When I just started off, I was so happy to be doing something that I knew my late wife, Nazia, would have loved. She was such a people's person, always helping everyone. And I just felt that Nair's Travels was a sort of tribute to her.
Well then, it seems like you really did do it as a service to the Ummah.
Ah, but that's just the thing, Zubair. You see, a few years ago, there was a period when the dollar dropped and I managed to secure accommodation in the kingdom for a ridiculously low sum of money. But just as people started to make their bookings, the dollar spiked suddenly and I don't know what happened. I kind of forgot my objective of helping the Hujjaj. I decided to take advantage of the situation I included the increased rate in my fee and didn't pass the discounted rate on to my customers. And in that way, I made a small fortune.
But that's business, Mustafa. Sometimes you just get lucky.
That's what I thought. But last year, when I was forced to close my business down in the lockdown, I realized that my intention was no longer pure. I was just taking people for Hajj because I loved making money.
Mustafa, it's never too late to turn to Allah and pray for forgiveness. He is the All-Merciful, and inshallah, just by admitting your faults and repenting unto Him, Allah will forgive you and He will replace you better than what you have lost.
Shoo, where did the time go? It's already Asr.
And we haven't even had tea yet.
Well, it's time for Salah now, so we'll have tea when we come back.
You guys carry on. I'll meet you there in a bit.
Why don't you just come with us, Ilyas?
I'm expecting a call. Don't worry, Molana. Mustafa will take you all to the masjid. He knows the way. After all, like me, he grew up here. If I'm done in time, I'll catch up with you guys.
Ladies pray Salah inside and then return to the table for tea, while Auntie Suraya lays down for a little while.
Sahra, you are so amazing. I watched how you managed to maneuver your wheelchair so smoothly into the bathroom to make wudu. You didn't even ask for any assistance.
Well, I've been living with this disability for almost all my adult life. I had to find a way to make things work for me.
Sahra is quite independent. But she's not really a happy person most of the time.
Well, what's there to be happy about if you're a paraplegic?
Oh, Zahra, I know what happened to you was traumatic. And yet, you've come to terms with it beautifully. Look how capable you are.
Actually, Atiya, I really didn't want to come today. But Zubair insisted that this reunion would be therapeutic for me.
Zahra, Zubair is right. Maybe it's time to revisit that experience so you can move on with your life. The day of the stampede was the most challenging day of your life, but at least your Hajj was done because you were at Arafat.
Zahra, do you remember what happened after the stampede?
No. I think I blocked it out. Well, that's what the therapist told me anyway. My memory of that period is completely blank.
That's the body's coping mechanism. But think back, Zahra. We visited you at the hospital when we came back to Makkah on the last day of Hajj. And your positive attitude stuck with me for all these years. In fact, it is what spurred me on to remain Muslim.
Really? I don't remember telling you anything. Besides, I was so out of it that I'm sure I wasn't even making sense.
Well, I remember it perfectly. You were in traction in your hospital bed and you told me that you saw your life flashing before you in that crush of bodies at the Jamarat. And in that moment, the only thing coming out of your mouth was the kalima. Zahra, you told me that whether you lived or died that day, you knew that you had your iman to hold on to. And so many times after Fahim divorced me and the challenges of staying Muslim in my Christian world became too great, I thought back to that moment in the hospital and that gem you shared with me. And let me tell you, Zahra, in my darkest moments, when I was on the brink of turning murtad, it was your words at the end of that Hajj that kept me on the path.
Really? Wow! Subhanallah! I wish I had known this a long time ago. I've had some terrible patches over the years, but knowing that I helped you stay Muslim means that my life wasn't lived in vain. Oh, Tasneem, you've made me so happy.
The men are back from their salah and Ilyas serves them tea. On the ladies' side, Auntie Suraya is now seated at the table with the others after her nap. They can hear the men speaking through the screen.
Mustafa, who's that you were speaking to outside the masjid after salah?
An old friend. He's the local alim here now.
Oh, you met Umar. I haven't seen him in ages.
Yes, he seemed quite worried about that.
What do you mean?
Umar said he hasn't seen you around at the masjid for some time. What's going on, Ilyas? Why aren't you attending the Salah?
I go there sometimes. It's just, I prefer other masjids in the town. So,
Ilyas, the other masjid is a good 20-minute drive away. It doesn't make sense for you to go there.
Did you have a fallout with one of the other musallis? I know that happens sometimes and...
I can't live this lie any longer, Ilyas. Why don't you tell your Hajibai what I've been suspecting for some time now, that you are so far away from the deen, that you hardly ever attend masjid, that even at home, you never pray salah.
Atiya, but how do you know all of this?
I'm not blind, Ilyas. I can see what's going on with you. It's just... I didn't know how to ask you about it.
But before Atiya finishes her sentence, Ilyas pushes his chair back angrily, toppling it over in his haste to leave his own house. What other tales have transpired in 21 years? Find out in the next episode of The Hajj Reunion.